Tehillim, chapter 122, Kuf Chaf Bet. The previous chapter of the 15 Shir HaMaalot described a traveler on his way. This one speaks of a specific type of journey, a person going on a religious pilgrimage to Yerushalayim and the Beit HaMikdash. The Mishorer describes the joy of those who go on the pilgrimage to Yerushalayim, praises the city, and prays for its peace. There were several options to describe when this mizmor was written. We will discuss that, Be'ezrat Hashem, as we reach the end of our discussion. First part is the joy of those when they ascend to Yerushalayim. Shir HaMa'alot LeDavid, a song of ascents to David. Samachti ba'omrim li, I rejoiced when they said to me, Beit Hashem Nelech, let us go to the house of God. It evokes the image of a pilgrim describing his experience, starting with when he was invited to go. He rejoiced in the statement, it's time to go to Beit Hashem, or he rejoiced with those who invited him. And this leads to the question of timing. What was this mizmor written for? If it was written in reference to the three pilgrimage festivals, the Aliyah LaRegel, nobody needed an invitation, everybody knew when to go, Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. Therefore, suggests Rabbi Elchanan Samet, that this is specific to the bikurim, the first fruit, which were brought at different times depending on when the fruit of the region was at its best. Then it would make sense that this mizmor was written by a pilgrim going to bring his bikurim when he is told by the people in the city, it's time to go, let's get ready. Now the opening phrase, Shir HaMa'alot LeDavid, is a little difficult. David did not live in a time when Yerushalayim had a Beit HaMikdash. The Midrash says that he rejoiced that people wanted the Beit HaMikdash, even though he knew that that meant he would no longer be alive, or that he wrote this mizmor prophetically on behalf of pilgrims. The pshat, however, is that this was said by the pilgrims, the Olei Regel, in the time of the Davidic dynasty, the kingdom of Judah. So what does he say? Omdot hayu ragleinu, our feet were standing within your gates. Bisharayich, within your gates, Yerushalayim, O Jerusalem. He addresses Yerushalayim as a person. How wonderful it is when we stand in your gates. Notice the switch from the singular in the previous verse, Samachti, to the plural, Omdot hayuragleinu, our feet. Over here, a crowd has gathered as they traveled. And this evokes the story of Elkanah in the beginning of Shmuel Aleph, where we're told that Elkanah would go up to the Mishkan Shiloh each year, going a different way, so that he could gather more and more people to come with him, because at that time the mitzvah of pilgrimage was indeed neglected. And then he addresses Jerusalem, Yerushalayim habnuya, Yerushalayim that is built up, ki'ir shechuvra layachtav, a city that has no open spaces. It seems to be totally connected, which is a sign of strength and wealth in the ancient world, that there were no open areas within the city, unlike what the modern Western conception of a wealthy city is. Notice, by the way, the repeated word Yerushalayim at the end of the previous verse and here at the beginning of this one, again, characteristic of the Ma'alot structure. The word Shechubra, however, also evokes the idea of Chaver, friend, or Chibur, connectedness, and this leads to several midrashic interpretations. For example, that David HaMelech united the two cities of Yevus and Sion, and there is archaeological evidence of this, in fact, available today. Or that it was a unified city between two tribes. Part of the city was in the ancestral heritage of Yehuda, and part of it was in the ancestral heritage of Binyamin. Or, says the Midrash, Yerushalayim Shalmala, the heavenly Jerusalem, is connected to Yerushalayim Shalmata, the earthly Jerusalem. And finally, the place where we all became united, Ir She'osah et Kol Yisrael Chaverim, as the Yerushalmi tells us, the city where we all became as one. There was a sense of unity when everybody came together into Jerusalem and experienced the Jerusalem experience. The Mizmar now moves into three sets of two-verse couplets, each one characterized by repeated phrases. Notice, by the way, the repeated she and shin sound that we're going to hear, which unites many of the phrases. Shisham alu shivatim shiftei ka. That's where the tribes went up, the tribes of Hashem. Edut li Yisrael, as a testimony to Israel. Lehodot l'shem Hashem, to give thanks to the name of God. This is the city where the tribes went to since David HaMelech conquered it. It describes them as Shiftei Ka, possibly alluding to the song Hallelujah. This was the place of testimony of the fulfillment of the commandment to go up three times a year, or Edut could also mean, as in the word Moed, okay, a meeting place where they go to give thanks to Hashem. And there's possibly an allusion over here also, Lehodot, to the Hodula Hashem Kitov. Edut means testimony, as a witness gives, and it is possible to interpret this, that by going to the Beit HaMikdash, we testify that we are the Shiftei Yah, the tribes of God, by our very action. We know that the tribes, when they're listed in the book of Bemidbar, instead of saying Shevet Reuven, it says Shevet HaReuveni, a He and a Yud, the letters of Yah added to each tribe's name. Kishama yashfu kisaot lemishpat, for there they were set thrones for judgment. Kisaot lebeit David, thrones for the house of David. This is the place where the thrones are set, which is a continuation of verse 3, or we can see this as a continuation of verse 4. We thank Hashem that this is the place where the thrones are set. But these thrones are for justice as well as for the Davidic dynasty, because the task of the Davidic dynasty is to execute justice. Yerushalayim here is seen as a center of justice, majesty, as well as worship. Now let's look at the parallelism in these two verses. It follows from the fact that the event described is presented in a very similar structure in each of these two verses, 4 and 5. First we have the word sham, used in reference to Yerushalayim. Then we have a past tense plural verb, alu or yashvu. Then we have a noun, which is the subject of the clause, which appears twice. Shivatim, shiftei, kisot, kisot. But this parallelism is not synonymous. Rather, it's an expression of difference. First of all, the subjects are very different. Shvatim, people, and thrones, things. Okay. Also, the verbs are different, going up and sitting down. La'alot, to go up, is moving. It's dynamic. Whereas to sit would imply being static and just being motionless and at rest. What's the difference between these two lines? It seems that the first line describes the people going to Yerushalayim, while the second line describes the city itself. The people are going up sham, there. They're in motion. The city, however, is sitting and waiting for them to arrive. That sham is static. And this might be the reason that instead of calling the kings melachim, it says kisaot, the chairs. The Mishorer chooses to use an object which is static and unchanging to describe kings, which are actually people. So what's the idea of this entire stanza? Rav Elchanan Samet suggests that this is to describe the encounter between the people and the city, between the dynamic and the static. And that would also explain why the idea of sitting in justice, of being a court of highest appeal, is the description of the monarchy again, because that was what the kings were supposed to do in order to engage with the people. They would sit on their thrones and the people would come to be judged before them. We then move on to blessings of peace upon Yerushalayim. Sha'alu shlom Yerushalayim, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Yishlayu ohavayich, may they that love you prosper. This could either be words of farewell from the inhabitants of the city to those who had come to be on pilgrimage. You pray for the peace of the city. And then they turn to Yerushalayim, the city, and say, pray for the prosperity and tranquility of those who love you, meaning those who had prayed for you. Or it could be that the leader of the group of Olei Regel, of pilgrims, directs them to pray for the city and then expands what the prayer should be in the following verses. Interestingly, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi bases his kina, his elegy on Tisha B'Av, on this verse, as he says, Tzion, haloti shali lishlom asirayich, dorshei shlomayich. Zion, will you not ask for the peace of your prisoners and those who sought your peace? The Radak says that here we are dealing with two separate statements. He says, sha'alu shlom Yerushalayim, pray to God for the peace of Jerusalem. And then the pilgrim addresses the city itself and says, yishlayu ohavayich, may those who love you prosper. What is the connection between these two? Rav Elchanan Samet suggests that this is one of cause and effect. When we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, if that prayer is accepted, we'll bestow benefit upon those very people who offer that prayer. We have a similar idea in the book of Yirmiyahu, where Yirmiyahu says, "V'dirshu et shlom ha'ir asher higleiti etchem shama," seek the peace of the city where you have been carried away captive, "V'hitpalelu ba'ada el Hashem," and pray unto Hashem for it. Same as Sha'alu Shlom Yerushalayim, pray for the peace of the city. Ki bishloma, when that city has peace, yelachem shalom, you will have peace. And that's the same as Yishlayu Avayich. The psalm continues, verse 7, Yihi shalom bechelech, shalva ba'amrotayich. Let there be peace within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. This is probably words of farewell from the pilgrims, either in response to the people who live in the city or in response to their leader. There should be peace and prosperity, inward and outward, secure military and social status. That all should rule in Yerushalayim. Now, if we look again at this concept of looking at the contrast between the static and the dynamic, we see that here as well. Okay? Before, he says, Sha'alu. He says, Sha'alu Shlom, dynamic, pray. And in the second verse, he says, let there be, Yihi Shlom. So once again, I have the contrast between the static and the dynamic. Now, he first turns, when he speaks to Yerushalayim, he turns to his fellows. And when he speaks about Yerushalayim, he turns to his fellows. And when he speaks to Yerushalayim, he speaks about his fellows. So we have the flip of each one of them. So not only does the second part deal with the city, the static, but it also even expresses even more the static status of it, the walls and palaces. And here we have, once again, the mix between the static and dynamic. Pray for peace, dynamic. Let there be peace, static. Pray for peace, directed to the Olei Regel. Let there be peace, directed to Yerushalayim. Let they prosper, Yishlayu, the verb relating to the pilgrims. Shalva, the noun relating to the palaces. So once again, we have this encounter between the static and the dynamic. It's interesting to note that we have really a strong alliteration in this section where the shin and the lamed, which is very dominant in the word Yerushalayim, is repeated again and again. Sha'alu, shlom, Yerushalayim, Yishlayu, shalom, shalva. So it's almost as if this little section over here, it's like a midrash on the name of Yerushalayim. The peace and prosperity of the city spreads from the static city itself to the people who are engaged in encountering the city. And we now move to the final two verses of the Mizmor. Leman achai v'rei'ai, for my brothers and for my companions' sakes, adabrana, I will now say, shalom bach, let there be peace within you. The Mishorer says, I either speak on behalf of all those with me on the pilgrimage, or I speak on behalf of the entire nation, since Jerusalem unites us. Let there always be peace within you. Notice that now we return to the singular, Leman Achai, my brothers, Virei'ai, my companions. Although the Mishorer has become part of the group, Bi'ir Shechubra LaYachdav, in a city which unites us, he still retains his identity. And to me, this evokes the Midrash that there were 12 gates to enter the Beit HaMikdash, one for each Shevet. No community, no tribe is asked to lose its identity, even though we unite together with a common purpose to serve Hashem. And now we reach the final verse of the Mizmor. Lema'an Beit Hashem Elokeinu, for the sake of God's house, Avaksha Tov Lach, I will seek your good. Notice that the Mizmor began with the Bayit, with the idea of going to the house of God, and here it concludes with Beit Hashem once again. In the merit of the Beit HaMikdash, which stands in your midst, may you always merit to have good. Before, the previous verse, verse 8, Lema'an was followed by Achai V'rei'ai, my brothers and companions. And here we have Lema'an for the sake of Beit Hashem, the Beit HaMikdash. That is what unites us in the service of God. The service of God is what unites us. That is what makes us Achai V'rei'ai. And once again, we have the meeting between the dynamic, the people making pilgrimage, and the static, the house of Hashem. And we realize that even the beginning of the Mizmor contains these elements of encounter between dynamic and static. I was rejoicing when I was told we should go up to the house of God, as well as the static description of the beautiful city. But that's the first time we see the encounter. This mizmor is not about people or about the city. It's about the encounter between the two of them, the moment when we engage with the divine. Notice that Hashem's name is used both for both elements, the people, Shifteya, their actions, as well as being called Beit Hashem, the temple, the house of God. So what was the purpose of this mizmor? Possibly, as we said before, it's a description by a pilgrim after he completes his trip to Yerushalayim and is ready to return. And it's his dialogue as he leaves with the people of Yerushalayim. The Yerushalmi in Bikurim tells us that this was said as they went up to Jerusalem. Baderech hayu omrim, as they were going to Jerusalem, they would say, Samachti ba'omrim li Beit Hashem nelech. I rejoiced when people said, let us go to Jerusalem. Beirushalayim, as they got to the gate of Yerushalayim, hayu omrim, they would say, Omdot hayu ragleinu bisharayach Yerushalayim. Our feet are standing in your gates. Behar habayit hayu omrim, when they got up to the Temple Mount, they would say, Hallelujah, hallelu el bekodesho. Praise Hashem in his holy place. Ba'azara, and in the courtyard, they would say, Hayu omrim kol hanshama tehalelya, hallelujah. Let every soul praise God. Another possibility is this was said by the Ole Bavel, the people who returned to Israel after the destruction of the first temple. As they're going to the second temple, they recall the glory of the first when the Davidic dynasty reigned. And that may be why Yerushalayim habnuya, Jerusalem that is now built. And finally, it's a possibility that this is a prayer for the future, that this is what we would say when we will, Be'ezrat Hashem, return to Jerusalem. On a historical note of recent history, on the 28th of Iyar in the year 1967, the third day of the Six-Day War, the Old City was liberated. As they announced the liberation of the Old City on Israel radio, this mizmor was read. This is amazing testimony to the power of Tehillim. Words that were written millennia ago resonate today. The city was once again Shechubra La Yachdav, reunited and uniting. Have a wonderful day.